Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. Joining us from London is Bradley Hope, reporter for the Wall Street Journal, covering finance and malfeasance, of which there's apparently a fair amount of. Spent 6 years as a correspondent in the Middle East, where he covered the Arab Spring uprisings. He was detained by authorities in Bahrain, reported from the front lines of the Libyan civil war, tear gassed in the Egyptian Arab Spring uprising, and he's the author of The Last Days of the Pharaoh on the Final Days of Egypt's President Hosni Mubarak. His co-author, Tom Wright, is a Hong Kong-based correspondent for the Journal. He was one of the first journalists to arrive at the scene of the raid in which the Navy SEALs killed Osama bin Laden. And together, their new book is The Billion Dollar Whale, The Man Who Fooled Wall Street, Hollywood, and the World. Welcome from London, Bradley.
Thank you very much.
Happy to have you. And by the way, we specialize in whales. We had got the first interview with the London whale, who lost $6 billion for J.P. Morgan. And now this is the Billion Dollar Whale. And we're going to be able to jump right into some breaking news. But first, tell people who and what is the Billion Dollar Whale to begin with.
So the Billion Dollar Whale refers to this young Malaysian financier called Joe Loh. He just turned 37 years old the other day. And at the time, at his peak, you know, during the period that our book's about, he was in his late 20s and early 30s. And he was this kind of no-name figure, who is now a big-name figure, that was behind what U.S. and other investigators believe is one of the greatest frauds that ever was pulled off, where they basically siphoned away upwards of $6 billion from this sovereign wealth fund. And all of the money that was stolen was actually borrowed money, money that Goldman Sachs helped Malaysia borrow. And it's having these endless ramifications, including, you know, the Malaysian government has changed, and there's been all kinds of impacts.
And we're going to go through those. The breaking news is that Goldman Sachs had let go of the managing director, the partner that was in charge of this relationship and brought in all these fees, Tim Leissner, and kind of positioned him as a rogue guy. Well, Leissner's testimony has now come out. And maybe you can take us through it. It does sort of implicate Goldman.
He's been a little bit of a darker character for us, darker in the sense we didn't really know his full story. And what happened was he was put on leave, you know, when the 1MDB scandal kind of blew up. And they found that he had written this letter that was unauthorized, and it gave them a reason to sort of essentially fire the guy. And at the time, it didn't seem like that big of a scandal for him. You know, he wrote a letter he wasn't supposed to write, and it wasn't even clear he ever sent the letter. But over time, things have started to emerge that gave us a clearer picture. And last week was the ultimate moment in that kind of clearing picture, because he pleaded guilty to basically being a key participant in this fraud and from the very beginning. So from the beginning of this Malaysian fund, he was getting money in an offshore account, paying it in bribes to other officials, and he pled guilty And so it's really just, and it was an incredible moment. And the ramifications keep coming for Goldman, because in some of the court documents from the Department of Justice, they mentioned, well, he mentions other people at Goldman knew that this was going on. One of his underlings is also under arrest in this case. But then another guy was put on leave because he was essentially, without naming him, mentioned in Leisner's plea, saying that this guy knew about it as well. And then the latest news that came out was that Lloyd Blankfein, the former CEO of Goldman, met this Joe Lowe character on at least two occasions.
He says in this testimony, too, that he admits to evading the internal compliance and committees at Goldman Sachs. But he said that was the culture of the firm. That's a pretty big indictment.
Yeah, there's that. That's in there. That's language that, I mean, very clearly what's going on right now is that Goldman and the Department of Justice are also having talks between themselves as Goldman the bank and Department of Justice about what kind of a fine they might have. And it's quite interesting if you talk to lawyers who read this complaint, where Leisner is pleading guilty, the Justice Department's language very clearly indicates that they believe they could charge Goldman Sachs as a bank with a crime.
Wow!
Like the language they use is the exact language of the law that allows you to take some sort of wrongdoing and then apply it to the parent company or to the bank itself.
And we've seen
it's pretty serious.
Yeah, we've seen in the past that if you indict criminally a bank, it often means it's over with.
It's hard to imagine that to be the case here, yeah. But it's definitely going to be a major black eye. You know, one of the biggest black eyes they've had since the financial crisis. And it's probably going to cause a lot of efforts inside Goldman to kind of prevent this kind of thing from happening again. I mean, we don't know yet the full outcome.
Well, Brad, let me ask you this, though. Clearly, in your book and before this came out, that Leisner's positioned as a rogue kind of guy at Goldman, and they fired him and everything. Wouldn't they have known that was going to backfire if it wasn't true? Because he's what's going to get out and let himself get hung alone, would he?
There's obviously the best evidence is about one guy doing a particular thing. And the hardest evidence is to prove that people higher up had any knowledge of anything. I think that's actually not the test, because there is just so many opportunities that Goldman had to detect that this guy Joe Lowe was heavily involved in all these deals. And yes, Leisner lied to people and told them he wasn't involved. But if anybody was doing an ounce of proper due diligence on these deals, they would have known something was up. Even one of my favorite ones is that 1MDB, and so basically 1MDB was controlled by Joe Lowe from behind the scenes. Even though he didn't have a role there, everyone kind of reported to him, and because he had this relationship with the Prime Minister of Malaysia, and this fund was the Prime Minister's fund. And so 1MDB told Goldman, look, when we raise this money, the billions of dollars, we want you to transfer it to our account in this tiny Swiss bank in Switzerland. It's a bank called BSI that was really just well known for catering to Italians who had an account in Switzerland. It was not a major commercial bank, you know.
Mm-hmm. Goldman made, and this just blows me away, $600 million off of transactions for MDB, floating these bonds, et cetera. And not only is that number unbelievable, but I'd be willing to bet that the government ends up getting most of it back anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That's the other thing, because in one way, if Goldman had – so Goldman did basically three bonds. There was a grouping of two in the beginning and then one later. And those bonds, the first bond had that same sort of a profit margin for Goldman. Mm-hmm. And it would be reasonable to assume that they had sort of managed to, dupe Goldman into – sorry, dupe 1MDB into doing something that was really expensive the first time, but then to do it two subsequent times, it would just show there's something funny going on here. Like, what kind of a fund would raise $3.5 billion, pay $350 million? So that's the first two bonds, or pay $350 million in fees to Goldman, and then what they did was they transferred $1.4 billion, this is like all, apparent in the paperwork, to this other entity to just hold, like, as a collateral, you know, and it turns out that money was stolen. But there was just a lot of features to these deals that just didn't make any sense, and it's hard to believe that Goldman thought that this was all perfectly above board.
The fact that Joe Lowe appears to have taken $5 billion, I know the first move was $700 million, but by the time he was done, is that, I mean, how do you get that kind of money out of a sovereign wealth fund in the first place? And is this level of corruption or even a lower level typical of these wealth funds?
So it was over many different deals, you know, so each deal, so like this, the first ever deal, for example, he set up this thing where it was 1MDB was going to do a joint venture with this tiny Saudi company. It looked like a big Saudi company, but it turns out it was a very small Saudi company. It was a deal where 1MDB was going to give $1 billion, and they were going to contribute their supposed assets.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just the simple, like, brazenness of it. When it came to transfer the money, they transferred $300 million of the billion to the actual joint venture, and the other $700 million they just sent to this this entity that had this offshore company in the Seychelles called Goodstar. So there it was, just in the matter of days, $700 million was gone, you know. And so a lot of the actual siphoning was like that, almost kind of like crazy and brazen.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the work that Joe Lowe was always doing and that has been detailed in a lot of these court filings is covering up these holes. And your question about corruption and sovereign wealth, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of it around the world, but there's just nothing quite like this.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. 350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19. Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance charges or collections activity, including litigation.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Joining us from London is Bradley Hope, reporter for the Wall Street Journal.
And this is really, I don't think this is like an indication of what's going on out there. This is just the craziest, most unsustainable kind of scheme that I've ever come across. Because, you know, we often joke, Tom and I, about if they had just kept, if they had just stayed with the first billion, they would never have probably gotten caught. Because the reason that, that all of this has come out is because 1MDB became saddled with so much debt.
Yeah.
It eventually rose to almost $13 billion of debt. And it had no like savings from the country of Malaysia. It didn't have any disbursements from Malaysia like their like most sovereign wealth funds would have, would be the savings of the country from their oil sales or something.
Mm-hmm.
So because it was so unsustainable, the whole thing just kind of came tumbling down, and then all these investigations started, and that's kind of where they are. But
it's just, to me, mind-boggling. I mean, you'd think if you want to steal some money out of a billion, you'd take, you know, 50 or 20 million, but to take 700 million of the billion and think nobody's going to notice that. He was like 27 years old when he did that deal, I think, when it first started. And you call him a serial fabulous. What does that mean, by the way?
Well, basically, from a young age, he was kind of telling stories to people that weren't really true, you know. Mm-hmm. So he told friends that he was richer than he was when he was in this kind of very high end British boarding school, and he just kept telling stories. I mean, in a way, he's a serial fabulous, and he's also like the greatest stage manager. He would kind of pull you aside and whisper something to you, and you felt like you were getting to know the truth of something, and only later, maybe years later, do you realize that he was doing that with everyone, and he was telling them each a different story. You know, so he was always – he had this uncanny ability to figure out exactly what makes someone work and to use it to, you know, enlarge the scheme or cover it up or, you know, buy some more time. So I think and the serial fabulous part, in a way, he's just never really told the truth on this, about this deal ever, you know, throughout the whole course of it. And there's always this, and it's kind of sloppy in a way too. You know, sometimes the story would change after the fact, and there would just be no way. But there's no way to really change the money flow. So it was almost kind of, it's kind of crazy that he would even try to do that.
This whole thing appeared to me to be really rooted in the failure of monitoring the global flow of funds, and you have money laundering, offshore banks not following laws, corruptions, law firms involved. You use a figure, $32 trillion of money laundering, which is bigger than the U.S. and China's GDPs. Is this is this rooted really in the failure of the system to figure out how to control these flow of funds?
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's kind of two levels.
Okay.
The more like micro level is that the global financial system is kind of assumes that deals between countries, between sovereign wealth fund A and sovereign wealth fund B, are going to be big ticket numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there are 700 million going this way and a billion going that way, and they're saying, no, don't worry, this is Malaysia, the government of Malaysia's money, this is their sovereign wealth fund. There was kind of this assumption that's how things work. Because, you can imagine being the guy who's seeing these flows. It would be pretty hard to imagine that someone just stole $700 million in the course of like 10 minutes, So that's one level. But then the higher level, I think this year it's becoming ever more clear, is that for a long time, especially the Western kind of leadership countries when it comes to the global financial system have allowed this offshore opaque system to get larger and larger and larger. And it depends on all these different pieces, offshore secrecy companies, banks that don't do proper compliance. But it's an incredibly large system, and it's so big now that to turn it back, it's almost going to be a monumental task, because all that money will fight the effort to turn things back. I'm not sure if you followed this case in Europe called Danske Bank, this Danish bank. They had this tiny Estonian branch that over the course of 9 years saw $200 billion flow through it.
Jeez.
That they now think is probably all suspicious. So most of it from Russia. So this like tiny branch was doing that. You can imagine what else is going on out there.
What is layering?
Layering is, I mean, basically a lot of money laundering techniques are just meant to make it harder for people who are, maybe not even very well paid compliance people to press a button that says suspicious. So layering is just efforts to disguise the origin of some funds. So just like having a company owned by a company owned by a company, so that if you want to try to follow it, you'll get lost, because you'll find this company is owned by a BVI company. And that's in turn owned by a Seychelles company, and it goes on and on. And it even slows down law enforcement, too. If law enforcement were to follow that money, they have to file, like a legal request in each jurisdiction. And some of those jurisdictions are just not very friendly to those kind of requests. So they can really slow down a lot of the law enforcement actions against people like this.
I was surprised also that there's a lot of laws in place for anti-money laundering through banks and stuff and reporting. But there's a thing called interest on lawyer trust that is not part of that reporting requirement, so top law firms can actually serve as money laundering outfits?
Well, I would say it's not clear that, for example, in this case, Sherman Sterling didn't know that what was going on. They didn't know where the money came from. But it's a gaping, huge hole in the U.S. financial system that basically the way it works is these law firms originally created these special accounts that were meant to, so let's say you have to send over, let's say you're going to buy a hotel or buy something huge. You send this money over, it's held in this account at the law firm, and the interest on that would go to this kind of charitable cause, which is the, all these law firms, they contribute to paying for people to have a free lawyer if they can't afford one. That was the idea, but it turns out it's also just like a huge money laundering tool in some cases. And because what it does is, let's say that you're some sort of counterparty in the U.S. and somebody from Malaysia says they want to buy something, you get the money from Sherman and Sterling. You don't get it. There's no way to even follow that money before that. So it basically eliminates the ability for anyone to do any due diligence on the buyer. And these pooled accounts are just they're extremely dangerous. And I think it's obviously an abuse of what they were meant to set up for. But that's what you find so often in money laundering, is that something that had this innocuous purpose, like even the idea of a trust. A trust was, I think I was reading somewhere, it was created, during the time of the Crusades in England, when people were leaving to go to war, and they didn't know what was going to become of their assets, so they created these trusts.
Business Talk with Jim Campbell. All talk and all business. 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business, along with the business of politics and sports, right here on the Biz Talk Radio Network.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
You love your car, and so does CarChecks. We're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and have been helping people avoid spending a fortune in costly car repair bills for almost 20 years. For about $2.50 a day, you get the peace of mind in knowing that your expensive repair bills may be covered by a vehicle protection plan. Think about if your air conditioner or the transmission goes out. That could cost you a few $1,000s. Or you can get protected with car checks and pay only a standard deductible. For about $2.50 a day, you can make sure you don't get stuck with the bill for covered repairs. Keep your car in tip-top shape. For a completely free quote, call Car Checks now at 800-958-5207. 800-958-5207. That's 800-958-5207. Or visit getprotected.com. That's getprotected.com.
tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk.
Online
at biztalkradio.com.
Hey, we're back with guest Bradley Hope, author of Billion Dollar Whale, The Man Who Fooled Wall Street, Hollywood, and the World. And we'll show now that this guy, Joe Lowe, how out of control he was, too. Talk a little bit about his becoming an overnight party boy billionaire, and whether we're talking Paris Hilton or Leo DiCaprio or yachts or whatever. Tell us what he did with the money.
To the people around Joe, he was always a big spender. So even when he was in high school, when he was in college, he was wowing people with his expenditures, but it was nothing to put him on the map, right? On a national or global level. He would just spend $50,000 in a casino, and it would, people who are going to college are thinking that's the entire tuition for 2 years that you just, won and lost over the course of a few hours. When he suddenly started getting this huge money, so when, like, for example, that one day suddenly he controlled $700 million and the day before he didn't, he just went on this extraordinary spending spree. And I just can't wait over time for more details to come out about this. But what we know he did was he basically showed up in New York, Las Vegas, and just started spending incredible amounts of money. You had fleets of Escalades taking him all around New York City, going to all the biggest nightclubs, dropping hundreds of thousands of dollars a night. This wasn't even at his peak yet. This was just still, he's just warming up. Renting yachts, renting plane trips. Then eventually starting to buy things, buy a plane, buy a hotel, just starting to accumulate all these assets. He also became obsessed with celebrities from the very beginning. The way it works is, and this is why he's referred to as the whale, because in the nightclub world, if you show up at a nightclub and you drop even like a substantial amount of money, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, you're a big deal in a nightclub. But if you start dropping hundreds of thousands of dollars, or in Joe Lowe's case, he dropped it on multiple occasions millions of dollars in a single night, you're the whale. You're the guy that can make that club's numbers for the year in a matter of a night or two nights or three nights.
Did any of these guys wonder where this money was coming from, that he was associating with the Hollywood guys or whatever?
I never really heard anyone say they particularly cared, but also Joe kind of was always making things easy for people, because he didn't want people to think, oh, I'm getting money that's possibly illicit. He was always putting people at ease. So, he let people think that he came from this really wealthy family and that his grandfather passed on this multi-billion-dollar fortune to his dad, and now it's coming under his control. It was all a fantasy, a fiction that he created to make things easy for everyone else, But in these nightclubs as well, there's these nightclub promoters, and they gravitate towards big spenders, and they want to make whatever that guy wants happen. So Joe would start going to these nightclubs, this 20-something young guy, kind of nerdy guy. And some of these nightclub promoters got the impression, from him that he really wanted to meet these celebrities. And so they started to arrange it. And he was out there hanging out with Leonardo DiCaprio not even a few months after that $700 million first phase of the fraud. It's unclear, in some cases, some of the celebrities like Paris Hilton, he was paying them to come to his parties, significant amounts of money. In Leonardo DiCaprio's case, it was more that he was kind of promising him that he would be the source of all kinds of funding for his films. And that's where The Wolf of Wall Street comes in as well, because they had wanted to make that movie for a long time, But the studios didn't want to do it. It was too R-rated. It was risky in their view. So in walks Joe Lowe, saying, "Listen, me and my friends, we'll handle that for you. We can easily do a $100 million film like that."
And Paris Hilton, he was paying $100,000 to show up to a party.
Yeah, and that's just like for a party. But also, when these people would party with him, they would also get, you know, a lot of stuff. So, like, for example, you know, you get like free champagne, whatever. But you also get, if you were to go gambling with him, he would hand you $100,000 in chips just to have, like, to play with that night. So there was huge benefits. And then there's the gifts. You know, we know about some of the gifts, like he dated this supermodel, Miranda Kerr, and she got all these diamond jewels and things. But he gave gifts like that all the time. You know, there was one story in the book where he was like in the limousine with a bunch of models and other people, and one of them remarked that it was her birthday. So he pulled over, went into this jewelry shop and bought her this extremely expensive watch, you know, like a $50,000 watch. So he's just so good at spending money. I mean, he could just spend so much more than you can imagine that he could spend. He did. Yeah.
You have him losing $2 million in gambling in 10 minutes, spending $2 million in euros on champagne. By the way, wouldn't he have wanted to keep a low profile?
That was another thing that really kind of was his undoing as well.
You have him buying a penthouse, I think, in New York City for $31 million in cash. And this eventually goes to the prime minister's kid, right, or stepson or something, which also would seem to implicate that the prime minister knew exactly what was going on.
He was a huge buyer of luxury real estate. He bought multiple expensive places in New York City, you know, like top 1%. And then some of them he transferred over to this guy, Riza Aziz, who is the stepson of the prime minister of Malaysia. It's unclear. I mean, I would say it's unclear that Riza knew exactly what was going on, because he was told, and this has been documented, he was getting all of this benefit on behalf of an Abu Dhabi member of the royal family. Once again, Joe Lowe, this is the kind of thing he did. He made everyone, he needed everyone to be heavily implicated so that he would be protected. But at the same time, he didn't need to tell them the truth, the full truth of what was going on. So, like, even in that first phase of the 1MDB scandal, the prime minister, we have this email where some of the guys are discussing it and they're saying, "Oh, don't tell the prime minister. He doesn't really know the full picture here." You know, and I think there's definitely an element of that. That's not to say that the prime minister and the stepson are, you know, without criticism. And in fact, they're at least the prime minister of Malaysia is being criminally indicted in Malaysia and faced many, many charges for many different things. But it's not clear to me that anyone had a full view of what was going on exactly, except for Joe Lowe alone.
If we go back to the macro level for a second here, I mean, is this really an indictment of us, how everything is for sale on Wall Street and in Hollywood and in D.C.?
That's how I feel. My experience in researching this book has been, it's kind of changed my life to some extent, where I feel like I have a glimpse of how the world really works now. Even as we were reporting this, I kept assuming, no, it can't get any bigger.
Yeah.
They probably just took the first billion and the second billion is a misunderstanding or whatever. But then it just kept getting bigger and more confirmed, and more and more people were involved. And they were involved in worse ways, like with Tim Leissner. I thought maybe he was just getting paid through his bonuses, which would be pretty high, considering the $650 million worth of fees on the bonds, right?
Yeah.
So I thought maybe that's how he's gaining, but he's also gaining on the side. So I think across the board, I'm just sort of disappointed, you know. Yeah. But I get, you know, definitely Hollywood's for sale. U.S. politics is not quite for sale, but you can get into the – I mean, basically, under Obama, Joe Lowe was in the White House holiday parties and had all kinds of access that you wouldn't normally have. And now under the new government, he's clearly believes he has a kind of cynical view, because he hired all of his lawyers. He hired are all very close to Trump. So there's he hired Mark Kasowitz, who's one of Trump's personal lawyers. That's his criminal lawyer. He hired Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey.
Wow.
That's his civil lawyer.
Wow.
You know, and there's other guys too. Bobby Birchfield. He's one of Trump's ethics advisors. How cynical is it to hire that kind of a group of people? That's what he thinks. That's what his view of the U.S. government is. You know.
The other thing that really hits you. I mean, there's just billions and billions of dollars in J-Lo. J-Lo bought his own share of these of real estate for cash, and that's really all money laundering through LLCs now, right?
Any cash purchase of a $30 million apartment should raise some red flags. Yeah.
And a lot of that's gone through the Trump Organization too, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of that's what these developers are in some ways. Like a high-end luxury real estate developer, it's pretty hard for them not to be at least in part a money laundering machine.
Yeah.
Because what their biggest buyers are all foreign people from Russia, China, whatever, coming in there buying in cash. And, you know, it's not even just money laundering. It's also just a safe place to stow your money.
Yeah.
And perhaps when you buy an apartment in a building, it's a lot easier than opening a bank account in New York. You can just buy an apartment, and that's your savings account. You know, it appreciates potentially. You know, you don't have to go through the same compliance checks that you might if you were to open a bank account in New York. And that was basically people in Malaysia that knew something bad was going on, that had done an investigation, but were getting kind of shut down, and that information made its way to us. From there, it just kept developing. You know, so then, you know, I have this Middle East experience, so we figured out that not only was there $1 billion missing in the beginning, but there was another $2.4 billion missing in this whole other Abu Dhabi saga. So like, we figured out, we managed to get some documents that showed that the Wolf of Wall Street was funded by this money, and it just kept going and going and going. And all along the way, we just kept hearing more and more about J-Lo. And that's how eventually it all came together. You know, there's all these separate things, but they all link back to J-Lo.
Our final segment coming up, the cost of corruption to a nation.
You like business content? I mean, if you didn't like business content, you wouldn't be listening to this show, right? What if I can give you even more of what you like? Now, we've never met, but I'm willing to bet you are very busy. Between your work, family, and outside commitments, this little car ride is your time to catch up on your favorite show. But do you always get to tune in? Exactly. Well, now there's a business club with you in mind. BizVod is the place for business videos on demand. We have partnered with this show to provide you more of the content you like. The best part? It's all on demand. That means you can log in anytime from any device and watch shows that answer all of your business questions. For a limited time, you can try it for free for 30 days. Simply go to bizvod.com and enter promo code radio. That's BIZVOD.com. Promo code radio.
It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness, or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair, and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience in the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today, and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Call the CPAP hotline now. 800-525-8891. 800-525-8891. That's 800-525-8891. Copays and deductibles apply. Supplies are replaced in accordance with Medicare guidelines.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Wall Street Journal investigative reporter Bradley Hope. Right now, where is this guy Lowe? Is he a fugitive from justice? What's going to happen next? Will he end up in prison? Will they get him?
Well, so Joe Lowe is now officially indicted by the United States. Malaysia has sort of unsealed charges against him as well. So he's definitely a wanted man. There's Interpol red alert notices from it. And he's believed to be in China and under the protection of China.
Really?
The reason for that is, when this whole thing started getting much worse, Joe Lowe stopped traveling. He holed up in China. And it looks like, increasingly, that he developed really strong relationships with the Chinese government and essentially helped them to do all these deals in Malaysia that increased Malaysia's debt to China extraordinarily. Wow. And so he played this strategic role on behalf of China. And in Malaysia used a lot of some of that money to pay down some of the debts in the 1MDB case. Because if you can imagine, Najib, the prime minister of Malaysia at the time, was extremely vulnerable because of this whole thing. He was denying that any money was missing. And so he really needed this bailout. And what he did in order to get that bailout was basically do whatever China wanted him to do. That's where Joe is believed to be now.
This looking at the cost of corruption to a state. You talk about 1MDB, the goal was to create jobs and have this slush fund on the side. But the fund debt ended up being almost three times the GDP of the country. So this whole episode actually lowered the standard of living in Malaysia. Is that right?
Amazingly hard to understand the true impact of it, because all of the money that was stolen was borrowed. So even Malaysians for a long time, and even to this day, they still struggle to understand the impact on themselves because it's essentially things that didn't happen. So it's hard to feel what didn't happen. If their savings had been stolen, they might actually feel worse about it. But their borrowed money, it's like your credit card debt was stolen. And so it has this kind of funny feeling where it doesn't hurt as much. But I would say it has had so many ramifications on Malaysia. What I was just saying about China, for example, it changed Malaysia's foreign policy, its relationship, its standing in the world. It's all the hospitals that weren't built, all the schools that weren't funded, things like that.
In fact, while we're on foreign policy, it actually ruined Malaysia's relations with Abu Dhabi and Saudi Arabia, right? Because they tried to engulf them in the cover-up.
It definitely hurt their relationships tremendously. And also probably other countries, too. Even its neighbor, Singapore, the U.S. has kind of distanced itself from Malaysia, at least during the Najib era. I mean, the ramifications are so huge, but they're also kind of, like I said before, kind of hard to feel for the average Malaysian.
Do you put as bluntly as Goldman Sachs facilitated the destruction of a country wealth?
I mean, I would say it's kind of factually true that happened, but not willfully. You know, okay. I think it's just they played a pretty important part in this whole scandal, and I'm sure they're really regretting it at this point.
Do they work? Can they work? Have they failed? Are there new tools needed? How would you wrap your arms around the big picture issue?
These things are great because if it wasn't for the United States Department of Justice and their vigor in the way they've investigated this, mm-hmm. we wouldn't know hardly any of the really amazing details of this. They have dug so deeply over many years into it, and their court filings are some of the best, you know, information you can get. And they are, you know, bringing criminal charges against people, and then, you know, it's a huge deterrent. So that all seems to be working pretty well. When it comes to the bigger picture of preventing it from happening in the first place, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think their actions are enough of a deterrent, because I'm sure there's plenty of things that get through all the time and people feel that, yeah, there's a risk, but, you know, I think we can get away with this. So the bigger picture is just how do you get your arms around this whole almost like – it's almost like this upside-down financial system that is beneath the surface that involves these secrecy locations, these islands, mm-hmm. These small banks around the world, you know, banks that don't even operate in dollars. I mean, the ones that are in dollars are the ones that are kind of held to the highest standard. But then people like Joe Lo are still operating to this day. And how are they doing it? They're not using the normal banking system, but they seem to be doing just fine. You know, he's paying his lawyer, he's paying everyone, and continuing to live freely. So,
I was going to ask you, does Lo have money right now?
Yeah, it seems like he has a lot of money.
So he has it in some place that they haven't been able to freeze it or anything.
I would estimate that he spends much above $20 million a year on lawyers alone. He's got access to a lot of money, and there's a lot of money still missing in the 1MDB scandal. I mean, we don't really know. We hardly know where any of the money ended up, except for the money that he used to buy certain assets. There's a lot. So the assets total like $2 billion. And,
Jesus.
You know, there's $5, $6, $7 billion that's not accounted for. So,
do you think something like the Magnitsky Act, which is designed to freeze folks' assets like Russian mob figures, et cetera, is something like that needed so that you could get, you know, you could stop the funds of the Malaysian prime minister or this guy Lo?
I mean, that kind of thing is good. I mean, there's also things like in the UK, for example, they've got this new thing called unexplained wealth. So if you just try to buy something in the UK with a lot of money and you can't explain where the money came from, they can seize your money. So they have some of the first cases coming through on that now. But I mean, it's obvious if you've got $100 million and you want to buy a $10 million house, you should be able to explain where your money came from or how you earned that, you know. And if you can't, you lose it, which is a pretty crazy thing. I mean, that's a pretty big impact.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of those tools, but at the end of the day, they don't dismantle a system that allows hundreds of billions of dollars to course through the dark corridors of the economy.
Should this real estate money laundering aspect of this, should that be closed?
I mean, it seems to me there should be no obstacle for the government to know exactly who bought a particular house, and if they bought in cash, you know, that should be really heavily scrutinized to avoid this kind of thing from happening on a massive scale. Because there's so many cases where real estate plays a fundamental role in money laundering. So,
do you think it would just have such a negative effect at the top end of real estate if they suddenly put a halt to this?
I can't imagine that it will be a good impact. I mean, it will only reduce some of those sales. And, of course, maybe governments don't particularly want to do that. It might reduce taxes, and there's probably a whole chain of people and industries that are against that from happening.
All right, our last question here, the last few seconds. Do you think they are going to get Joe Lo, get the money, and will he be put in jail?
I think in the long run, there will be sort of a sense of justice in this case, but I think a lot of the money will never be recovered. And it's really unclear if Joe Lo will ever leave China. I mean, if he never leaves China, then there's no reason that he'll have to be arrested.
And the Chinese will not allow him to be extradited, you don't think?
Well, yeah, that's the other possibility. But there's no evidence of that yet.
Thanks to Bradley Ho. Boy, what a story. The book is The Billion Dollar Whale, The Man Who Fooled Wall Street, Hollywood, and the World. And as we said, news is just breaking, so I think there's going to be a lot more on this story coming out over time, particularly if they get this guy. Thanks to Bradley Hope from the Wall Street Journal.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.